Hello, I'm Pastor Daniel Flukey from St. Peter Lutheran Church in Green, Iowa, and today is Sunday, September 6th, the 14th Sunday after Pentecost. I have two scripture readings to share with you today. The first reading is from Romans 13, verses 8 through 14. Paul writes, "Owe no one anything except to love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment, are summed up in this word, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us, then, lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." And the Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 18th chapter. "Glory to you, O Lord." Jesus said, "If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. And grace to you and peace from the one who was, who is, and who is to come, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So right now you're watching this, obviously, on either Facebook or YouTube, or maybe you're listening to it on a podcast. And knowing that, I have a question for you. Have you read through all the terms of service of the website you're on? Because by using them, you're agreeing to them. And good for you if you have, but the vast majority of people, myself included, do not read everything in every document that they agree to. And I read a story this week about a woman named Donalyn Andrews, who actually did. She read all the fine print of a travel insurance policy last year. I don't know if you've ever tried to read an insurance policy, but she did. And I'm quoting from the Washington Post now. She was, quote, "deep into page 7 of the policy when something jumped out at her. Pays to read," read the contract. It continued, "We estimate that less than 1% of travelers that purchase a travel insurance policy actually read all of their policy information, and we are working to change that." It said the first person to email the company, and it gave an address, and mention this fine print contest would win $10,000. Andrews immediately emailed. The next day, the company called her to tell her that she was the first to email, and she would indeed get $10,000. Pretty good for a $454 policy. Other companies, of course, go the other direction, and they sneak all sorts of things into their fine print. NPR has an article with examples, like 22,000 people in Manchester, England, who, by using public Wi-Fi and checking the box when they logged on, inadvertently agreed to 1,000 hours each of community service, including cleaning public toilets and relieving sewer blockages. And somehow I'm guessing they did not follow through on that one. Or, April Fool's Day 2010, British retailer GameStation, the users who logged on that day and didn't read their license agreement and specifically uncheck a box, agreed to grant GameStation, quote, a non-transferable option to claim, for now and forevermore, your immortal soul. Apple's iTunes, if you read the fine print, is not to be used to produce nuclear weapons. So I guess that's good. So with all that in mind, thinking about fine print, how many of you have read the entire Bible all the way through? Have you done it? A poll a few years ago found that 87% of American households own a Bible. Actually, the average number is 3. American households average 3 Bibles per household. But only 1 in 5 Americans in this survey claims to have read through the entire Bible. Now, I don't think it's actually that big of a problem, honestly, if not very many people have read all the dimensions of the temple in 2 Chronicles or all the tribal census lists and numbers. But in general, reading the Bible is good. Part of why I think people don't read all of the Bible is that there's a lot in it. Especially, there's a lot of laws. And a lot of those laws are hard to read because they're not intended for us to follow. Many of them we can't follow today. There's a Jewish tradition that holds there are 613 commandments in the Bible. 613. And obviously, Jewish tradition wouldn't count anything in the New Testament, any commands there. So we often narrow it down and we focus on the Ten Commandments. And I'm guessing maybe you can list all Ten Commandments. Maybe you remember that from Sunday school or confirmation. Good for you. But there's a lot of fine print that goes along with those commandments. And if you want to follow God's law, there's a lot of detail you need to pay attention to. And of course, once you get detailed laws, people start doing two things, right? They start looking for loopholes, and they start criticizing others who don't follow the laws the right way. Fortunately, maybe not fortunately, but by God's wise provision, we have this great passage from Paul's letter to the Christians in Rome. And Paul, in this reading, takes the entirety of all the commandments, all 10 of them, or all 613, and says, here's how you fulfill them. Love one another. The one who loves another has fulfilled the law. And this isn't just Paul making this up either. Remember, Jesus was asked which commandment in the law was the greatest. And he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Love God, love people, and the rest is the fine print. Of course, we need the fine print. We need the rest of the commandments and the rest of the Bible to show us how to do the loving. But we also need to not get so hung up on the details that we miss the point. And the point is to love. As Paul says, the rest of the commandments are all explanations of how to love your neighbor, how to not do them any wrong. Don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't covet. Those are all part of loving your neighbor. And of course, loving your neighbor is not limited to those particular commandments. Those commandments extend to the rest of the way we treat each other. That's that avoiding trying to find loopholes in them. As Martin Luther talks about in his Small Catechism, the command to not murder includes helping and supporting our neighbors in all of life's needs. Honoring your father and mother, that means more than just literal family. Luther says it includes all of those who are placed in authority. Not bearing false witness, that means coming to our neighbor's defense, speaking well of them, interpreting everything they do in the best possible light. The ways we spend our time, the causes we support, the things we protest and advocate for, the way we vote, the way we treat other people, both personally and collectively as the church, all of it ought to be rooted in loving our neighbor. For love is the fulfilling of the law, and if we err, let us err on the side of love. Read the fine print, but don't use it as an excuse to avoid the call to love. Interpret everything through the lens of love. And that brings us to this gospel reading from Matthew 18. And this passage is the most fine print seeming thing I think that Jesus ever says. This gospel reading feels like a policies and procedures manual, doesn't it? If two people in the church have a conflict, follow this checklist. Go in order. And in fact, these verses are often used that way. In our church's constitution, this is the only Bible passage specifically cited by chapter and verse. And it's in chapter 15 on discipline of members. This is a tough passage, I think, to look at, because the examples of how to use this for conflict resolution, they get really specific. And at least for me, it's hard to read this without thinking about actual situations, actual conflicts, whether or not this would have helped. And of course, in my examples, when I think about how to use this, I always want it to work out on my side, to my benefit. So I look at it and I think, maybe we should have used this. Maybe this is a way to convince them, whoever they are, that I'm right. Remember, give humans fine print and we'll try to find loopholes in it. But what Jesus is saying here in Matthew 18 is about more than particular situations. It's about that, but it's about more than that. This might be a policy statement, but it's a policy statement for when love breaks down, when community breaks. It's an acknowledgement right from Jesus that even though the call is simple, love God, love people, we as people, we as the church, will not always live up to it. It's not the ideal, it's not the way things are supposed to be, but in choosing to build his church with real, live human beings, with you and me, Jesus accepts that conflict is going to happen. He gives us some instructions to deal with the fact that even as Christians, we won't always live up to the way that we're supposed to be. And so he gives us instructions on how to handle it, not to avoid it, not to just fall into that Midwestern nice and avoid all conflict, but what to do about it when it occurs. When someone sins against you, when the community of love breaks down, don't ignore it, but also don't jump straight to trying to get the whole world on your side against them. Instead, go to them directly and try to resolve it. And if that doesn't work, bring someone else with you, not to gang up on them, but so there's someone else to listen to both of you, perhaps to mediate. Maybe having a witness or two will help towards resolution. And if that doesn't work either, well then maybe more of the church does need to be involved. And if the break turns out to just be too big, the final step, Jesus says, is to let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. And that sounds pretty final, doesn't it? And yet, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector is much more than just a fine print operating procedure. Really, it deserves an asterisk of its own to remind us just how exactly Jesus said to treat people, such as Gentiles and tax collectors. Where the religious leaders and the public scorned them, Jesus went and sought them out. He looked for the Gentiles, for the tax collectors. He crossed over to Gentile territory. He called the people that society despised to follow him. Matthew himself, the one after whom this gospel's named, he was a tax collector until Jesus called him to become a disciple and follow. This very chapter of Matthew 18, the first part of the chapter, starts with Jesus lifting up a child as someone worthy of welcome. And then he tells this parable about a sheep who wanders away from the flock. And our Father in heaven, he says, is like the shepherd who leaves the 99 to go seek after the one. The one who wanders away not only still needs love, that one has a more urgent need for love. See, it comes back to love. The one who loves another has fulfilled the law and all of its fine print. Love God, love people. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you came and lived among us as the ultimate example of love. Help us to respond to your love for us by loving the neighbors around us and around the world. Lord, shine your light through us that the world may know your love. Amen.